Ellison, and welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Ahead on this Monday, August 10th, we take you inside a trial nearly 30 years in the making. There were a lot of conspiracy theories about the murder of Tupac Shakur back in 1996. Now, someone is finally on trial, and jury selection is today. Plus, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez started a conversation when she went public about freezing her eggs. Dr. Celine Gounder is here to talk about what you need to know about the process. We've also got a very special Beg Knows America, the 100th edition, if you can believe it. And guess what? It includes David's mom. And we welcome country star Riley Green to the studio. He is a very busy man with a guest spot on the hit CBS show Marshals and a brand new album coming out next month. All that and more ahead.
All right, we got a lot to get to this morning, but let's begin this hour with the latest on the season of extreme weather. Wildfires continue to rage in the West, including a new one near Reno, forcing thousands to evacuate. A fire in Canada just north of Washington state border has prompted a state of emergency. And breaking overnight, look at the damage in northern Illinois from a suspected tornado, which even flipped a train on its side. CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano is tracking it all. Rob, good morning again.
Hey, Vlad, good morning to you. Boy, Illinois has had a year as far as severe weather, especially tornadoes. They lead the country in it, like three times the normal number. And Indiana had winds of 73 miles an hour last night. The storm's now kind of petering out a little bit, but they're going to refire this afternoon. This yellow area from Chicago all the way back through Philadelphia are going to be under the gun for seeing storms that will produce some gusty winds, maybe some damaging winds, and all the way down I-80, and then rebooting it as we go through tomorrow as well. So we're talking about over 100 million people are going to be under the gun, and some of the same areas tomorrow will get it. Cincinnati, back through Pittsburgh, and again, those brighter colors are never good. Hail, maybe derecho winds to 70 or 80 miles an hour. 3 to 6 inches of rainfall there, and then the heat. We've got heat advisories from New York all the way back through Phoenix, and in between, heat warnings from St. Louis down to Joplin, Missouri. Going to be a hot one out there this afternoon. Gail, stay cool.
All right, Rob. Got it. Thank you. Now to an aspect of women's health that's not often discussed, but should. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is sharing her journey with freezing her eggs so she might be able to have children later in life. Here's what she said.
Deco and I, day one of freezing my eggs. I'm diving into the process, and now I've got, let's see, all of this medicine here. I'm going to inject.
It's a lot. This is a decision faced by many women. So today's Health Watch is about what you need to know. We're joined by CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Celine Gounder. She's also editor-at-large for public health at KFF Health News. We're so glad you're here. I'm so glad we're having this conversation. When I was in my early 20s and no prospect, I said to my mom, I knew I wanted kids. If I haven't met anybody by the time I'm 32, 33, I'm going to go to a bar, pick somebody up while I know I'm ovulating, have a baby. And she said, please don't share that with me. That was my method.
Because you didn't know about this, right?
This was not even an option. This wasn't even something that people talked about. That's why I don't recommend that, what I was thinking about, for anybody, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that she's talking about it this way. 36, though, still seems young. And to that you say, what? The process. Take us through this.
Well, so age at freezing is the biggest predictor of whether you then can have a live birth. Ah. So women who froze at 35 or younger had about a 50% live birth rate, whereas if you wait until after 40, that drops to about 20%. Mm-hmm. So younger is better.
Yeah, a lot of women. Favorite daughter Kirby did this years ago in her early 30s. Is there a best time to do it?
Well, younger. And yes. So the way the process works is it's about 2 weeks of daily hormone shots. Then you have a retrieval under anesthesia, under sedation. The eggs are then flash frozen. And that's where this process stops. After that is IVF.
Mm. So what are the risks and side effects for young people or any woman who's thinking about doing this?
Complications are uncommon, but it can include something called ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, which is where the ovaries swell and leak fluid into the belly. You can also have complications like infection or bleeding related to the retrieval of the eggs. And remember that this is just freezing the eggs. A pregnancy at the age of 44 still carries the risks to the mother and to the baby of a pregnancy at 44.
So there's no guarantee is what you're saying.
There is no guarantee of success. So of the eggs that are frozen, about 80% will survive thawing. And then each step of IVF, you see a decrease in probability. The stat to ask for is live births per patient by age of freezing.
So most health plans, they don't cover this unless there's a medical reason like cancer?
Yeah, that's right. So it's about, if you're paying out of pocket, it's $12,000 to $15,000 a cycle, plus the storage, plus the thaw, plus the other costs of IVF. So it gets really expensive. 21 states mandate coverage, but again, only if there's a medical reason for that, like cancer treatment. No state mandates elective freezing, which is what AOC is doing. And you need to ask your HR if your benefits cover the thaw, as well as coverage after you leave the job.
Mm. Well, I'm glad Representative Ocasio-Cortez is talking about this. No one ever questions when a man decides to start a family. She's been getting some heat from some people, so I'm glad she's bringing this attention to an issue that affects a lot of women. Mm-hmm. Dr. Gounder, always great to have you. Thank you very much.
If you're getting ready for a trip to the beach, we've got one more thing you need to think about, actually worry about. You heard about this so-called flesh-eating bacteria in the water. Yikes. Officials say it has killed at least 7 people this year along the Gulf Coast. This is serious. This rare bacteria thrives, it seems, in warm seawater. Mark Strassman shows how it spreads and how you can protect yourself.
Summerlin Skipworth was spending her Labor Day weekend last year at Alabama's Orange Beach when she hurt her foot against rocks along the shore.
It felt like it was broken.
Within a few days, Skipworth said the pain spiked, sending her to the emergency room.
Felt like somebody poured gasoline on my foot and lit it on fire.
Skipworth tested positive for Vibrio fulnificus. It's a so-called flesh-eating bacteria lurking in warm coastal waters that can enter the body through open wounds or from eating raw shellfish.
An infection never crossed my mind. I just knew I had pain in my foot.
Already this year, 2 people in Florida and 5 in Louisiana have died from the bacteria. Nationwide, the CDC says about 1 in 5 people with the bacteria do die.
With every year now, because of climate change, we're seeing it higher and higher, more northerly latitudes.
Dr. Peter Hotez says people with underlying health conditions should take extra precautions to protect themselves.
If you have those risk factors and if you have an open wound or abrasion in your skin, you do not want to go swimming in brackish waters along the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic seaboard.
Skipworth had to have an emergency surgery, but was released quickly after the procedure.
I'm just thankful to be here.
Doctors credit her recovery to early detection. For CBS Mornings, I'm Mark Strassman.
Can't eat lettuce, can't eat strawberries. Jalapeno peppers, now you can't go into the water.
Time to look at the stories that caught our eye. The lovely Adriana Diaz, a.k.a. Mrs. Smith, is doing the honors today. Hi, Adriana.
Mrs. Smith reporting for duty. Yes. Good morning. So first up, a massive typhoon in China. Take a look at the power here as the wind flips over a truck in the southeastern part of the country. More than 1 million people have been evacuated. This same storm already caused flooding in Japan and the Philippines. It has winds of up to 94 miles an hour. The system has been dubbed Typhoon Dolphin for the dolphins that swim in this part of the world. No word yet on casualties in China. Hopefully everyone is safe, but look at those pictures. Unbelievable. And in California, a man is under arrest in connection with a burglary on Kim Kardashian's property. The suspect was allegedly seen driving near the property, and when police arrived, they found him inside the home. Kardashian and her family thankfully were not there at the time. But of course, we all remember she was the victim of a robbery 10 years ago in Paris. In that case, 8 people were convicted. Now to a sad story from the sports world. NBA legend Don Nelson has died. Listen to this legacy. 5 NBA titles as a player with the Boston Celtics. And then as a coach, the second most wins in league history with more than 1,300. He coached the Bucks, the Warriors, the Knicks, and the Mavericks. He developed a style known as Nelly Ball, which totally changed the game. Nelly Ball, after I looked it up this morning, is a fast-paced strategy where smaller, more athletic players create mismatches in speed. The Warriors put out a statement about him, calling him a true basketball visionary. Don Nelson, a.k.a. Nelly, was 86 years old. And if you've never bought a Powerball ticket in your life, now may be the time. After there was no winner on Saturday night, the jackpot is now up to $905 million. That is the 8th biggest jackpot in Powerball history. Who knows? Maybe the winner will be someone in this room who wants to buy a ticket.
How do we feel? How do we feel at the table here about Powerball? I don't mind buying a ticket.
I never
or two.
Really.
I feel good about
you
it.
Do? Yeah. You buy tickets?
Yes, I do.
I don't buy tickets.
It's a one in 290.
And then people
million.
Would be mad if we won, though.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't tell anybody if I won.
Right.
Really?
No.
Well, there would be signs because you wouldn't show up for work.
That's
yeah.
not
be
true.
Like, talking
not,
about I wouldn't
that's
tell
not
anybody.
True.
I'm
I would
joking.
Still work.
I know you would. I know
I would
you
still
would.
Work. Yes.
Adriana. Have nicer clothes.
Thank you so much. I wouldn't tell anybody.
What's wrong with my clothes? Vlad. What's wrong with my clothes?
Yeah. Well, it was good knowing you, Vlad. All right.
The reason it still says Tony here.
We're going to talk music here.
I have a meeting
here.
With Tom later.
So, for the first time, someone is actually going to trial in the murder of Tupac Shakur. The hip-hop icon's killing was an infamous unsolved case for a quarter century. There were lots of conspiracy theories, and now jury selection is set to start today in the trial of Dwayne Davis, also known as Keefe D. He's pleaded not guilty. Jerika Duncan looks at the case and the evidence. Jerika, good morning.
Good morning to you, Nate. After years of investigating, police finally made an arrest in 2023, but prosecutors aren't saying Dwayne Davis pulled the trigger. Instead, they allege he was the man who organized the attack and provided the gun. Well, now a jury will hear the case against him, and a key part of that evidence comes from Davis himself.
For nearly 30 years, the fatal shooting of Tupac Shakur has remained one of the most infamous unsolved cases. The 25-year-old rapper and actor was shot multiple times in a drive-by ambush on the Las Vegas Strip back in 1996.
Come over here.
In 2023, Dwayne Davis, a self-proclaimed gangster known as Keefe D, was charged with Shakur's murder.
A murder prosecution almost 30 years down the line is never going to be easy because they don't have a murder weapon in this case. A lot of witnesses are dead.
As jury selection begins today in Davis's trial, prosecutors say he orchestrated the shooting to get revenge after Tupac and Death Row Records CEO Suge Knight allegedly beat up Davis's nephew at the MGM Grand Hotel hours earlier that day. It's a case built in part on Davis's own words in a documentary about the record label. Suge Knight has denied he beat up the nephew.
Who shot Tupac?
The keeper for the code of the streets. It just came from the backseat, bro.
Prosecutors are expected to show the jury comments like this as evidence. In 2019, Davis co-authored a tell-all book writing that he got a gun, threw it in the back seat of a Cadillac, and went looking for Tupac and Suge Knight the night of the deadly shooting with three other people. When they pulled up alongside the car, Davis writes, "No words were exchanged. The time for talking had passed. The expletive was about to go down." He then details how the person in the back seat opened fire.
You don't see this very often. The prosecution arguing to bolster the credibility of the defendant. He really spoke pretty openly about his involvement in this alleged murder, and that is now coming back to haunt him.
Prosecutors say those statements tell a consistent story, one that puts Davis in the middle of the plot. But the defense argues Davis, aka Keefe D, was selling a story for financial gain.
The biggest question is, what was the involvement of Keefe D? Did he give the murder weapon to the ultimate shooter with the intention that a crime be committed that evening?
The Shakur family is hopeful the trial will bring some sense of justice.
The optimism comes in from the simple fact that something has happened. They made an arrest.
Since his arrest, Dwayne Davis has spoken to multiple media outlets from jail. He says police should not have arrested him, saying prosecutors don't even have the murder weapon. He also claims he was not in Las Vegas on the night of the shooting and that a ghostwriter wrote his book.
He has been very chatty. Yeah. Why do you think he's so chatty?
I don't know if this is a case of wanting to be known as being affiliated with this cold case. Obviously, Tupac meant a lot to the culture, to a lot of people. He was an amazing artist and actor. But he's been talking for years. So here, after
a long time,
2023, he was arrested. Here we are in 2026. We'll see what becomes of this trial.
You want to be so close to this infamous incident that we're all familiar with.
Right.
But they say loose lips sink ships. Mm-hmm. And he has been talking for a long time about involvement in it. I'm not placing a blame because we don't know. But I do know he has spoke quite a bit about this.
Yeah, trying to figure out how Dwayne becomes Keefe. But people want to get to the bottom of it, so we shall see. Jerika, thank you.
Coming up, David Begno celebrates 100 editions of Begno's America with a very personal story. He reunites a boy with the nurse who helped deliver him who happens to be David's mom. Yep.
Aww.
That was Think As You Drunk, the latest single from country music star. I said it, and I said it right. I know it sounds like I'm screwing it up, but I'm not. Star Riley Green. Green is a an ACM and CMA award winner with 7 number one songs under his belt. You heard that right, 7. He is currently on tour playing to, of course, sold out crowds. His highly anticipated 4th studio album, That's Just Me, comes out next month, and we are so happy that Riley Green is here.
Welcome.
In studio, because the first line of That's Just Me says, damn, I think you're gorgeous. True. from Vlad's favorite song, Got That From You. I got a couple bad tattoos, got down in Cancun wearing nothing but my boots.
I love that.
Did that happen to you? Did that happen to you?
It sounds like a true story.
Beach happy, he caught her cheating, and now he says, my blues are blown away, got lime in my beer. I'm sitting here on this beach happy. Riley, the music is so good,
yeah.
And I'm so excited that you came here to talk about it. And I'm wondering what this feels like for you in this particular moment, because you said you didn't dream of fame and all this good stuff.
Yeah, it's, I've been so fortunate that my success was gradual, you know, and as early 20s, I don't know if I could have handled what I've got going on right now, but it's been really motivating. You know, I've done it for well over 10 years now.
But you were in construction.
I was. Yeah, I was building houses for a living. Wow. I signed a record deal in 2018 and put my tool belt up and really went on the road heavy. And it's just, as a songwriter, it's so great when people are like, relating to the music.
Yes.
And you hear them singing those songs back to you, you know, on the road. So when you see it growing, it just makes you want to go play more shows and keep grinding. So it's a really great time to be in country music, because I think the genre as a whole is becoming more popular everywhere.
Me too.
No doubt about it. You have been playing some of the new music on tour, even though the album doesn't drop until September. It's around the corner. What's the reaction you're getting from fans?
It's been great. You know, because when I grew up, it was burnt CDs. You know, you had to hear a song on the radio to know it. You had to go buy a CD at Walmart or you know, make your own. And now there's so many avenues to find music. You know, kids are finding them on Spotify and Amazon and Apple and all that. So I feel like they want to know the song that's not known yet. They want to be the one to tell their buddy, hey, have you heard it?
Yeah.
So when I play a brand new song, people will know them. They'll go find a clip on YouTube or something, and they haven't had the exclusive listen like y'all have.
We have, yes.
I've loved hearing y'all's feedback of it, because y'all are the first
one. I recommend Beach Happy. Number one, I love the variety of what you put on the album, too.
Yeah.
I love the variety of the music, the variety of the lyrics. Love that.
That was a very mindful thing. Growing up, I listened to, again, burnt CDs. It'd be Tim McGraw and then Tupac and then Merle Haggard and Sublime. So I loved all kinds of music growing up.
Wow.
Yeah. So for me, when I make a record now, I want to make sure it's got a lot of different types of songs.
It does. There's one lyric where they're dancing to Al Green.
I love Al Green.
I know. I thought that was interesting.
No, you can sense that your musical knowledge and your background of the stuff that you listened to as a kid is very evident in your music. But what I didn't expect was that you would be making your acting debut. I mean, you talk about being in construction and then getting a record deal. Now you're on the hit CBS show Marshals.
Double G.
Like, what's up, bro? Like, come on.
Did you do it all?
Did you like it? Did you like acting?
I loved it. You know Luke Grimes.
Yes.
Of course we did.
Such a great dude. And it happened so organically because he was starting his music career, coming to Nashville a little bit. And we wrote together and he mentioned something about maybe I should act. You know, I said, well, I'm interested in it, you know.
Yeah.
He said, I got this show, and I mean, it was a couple months later, I went out and read for a part. They said, I got it. I flew back out to Utah, and we filmed this show, and I was in amongst a tour, so it was a crazy time flying back and forth every week, but I loved
it. Did you have to audition?
I did, and Luke
Redwood. Was Taylor Sheridan there, or who was in that room?
No, it was me. We filmed an audition of me reading, you know, but I did get to read with the star of the show, which doesn't happen all the time, I'm sure.
Of course, you aced it. But listen, he acts, he sings, he writes. Beautiful writer. Mm-hmm. Also does duck calls, I've heard from reliable sources. What is that?
Well, as y'all got the camouflage here, I felt like I'm at home. That's great. I grew up just loving the outdoors, you know, hunting and fishing. And now I think I enjoy it more because I can get away from everybody and really disconnect when I get out in the woods in a duck blind or whatever it is. So,
what's your best duck call?
Okay, let's go.
I didn't even know I had this.
Got to keep that on you.
This is the duck man call here.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Just a little.
And I'll just come running.
I'll bet women like that. Are you single and available?
I don't think they do. I don't think they like it at all.
For a friend, Riley. Asking for a friend.
Brad, stop embarrassing us, man. The duck call is not for you.
No, I asked him, is he single and available? Asking for a friend.
Yeah.
There you go, Gail.
Ooh. All right.
Well, well, duck hunting. For you.
She's a duck hunter. Hey.
You're living your best life and you're just getting started,
man. I love ducks.
Congrats to all your success, man. We're excited for you.
Appreciate
all right.
It.
And his new album, That's Just Me, is out next month. Make sure you go get it, go stream it, do all of that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Riley Green. Reunited, it feels so good. That's how I feel.
Yes.
Gone for 2 weeks.
Reunited
feels so good. But we're not talking about us. We're talking about somebody else. We welcome you back to CBS Mornings. Time for what we call Talk of the Table, because it's a table and we be talking.
Yes.
We be talking.
We be talking. You're up first, Gail.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, shoot. All right.
Yeah. We're going to make you work,
okay,
Gail.
Okay.
First day back at work, Gail. You got to hustle.
I so rarely go first, but here we go. My Talk of the Table is a big anniversary coming up for the Oprah Winfrey Show. So over the weekend, there was a very special reunion in Chicago.
Everybody who has ever worked on this show knows what a gift it has been to be a part of something that's purposeful in other people's lives. And I know you've gone on and you've done other work and you've done good things and pretty things and successful things, but never have you worked with the greatest team.
Hard to believe, but on September 8th, it will be 40 years since the Oprah Winfrey Show was launched. Employees of Harpo Productions gathered to celebrate. So Oprah gave a big shout out to Big Ty Owens, the garage attendant who organized this reunion. So Oprah was supposed to be in South Africa, so she was not expected to attend. So her showing up was a huge
surprise.
That is
huge.
Everybody was really surprised when she walked in the room, but it just brought back so many memories. You know, the show has been off the air now for 15 years.
Right. There's some people who probably are of age now who don't remember the show.
There are some.
Yeah.
To show you how they don't remember, when Oprah went up to take the microphone, the guy standing on the podium said, "Are you here to sing Amazing Grace?"
No, no way.
Yes.
Come on.
He says to Oprah. And Oprah said, no, I'm not here to sing.
She should have taken the mic and started going,
"How old is this dude?
Amazing
Are you
Grace.
Here to sing the Amazing Grace?"
What?
No, actually, no.
That is really funny.
For you
funny.
To say that, I think that's funny.
Wow.
So the Oprah Winfrey Show ended 15 years ago on its 4,500th episode. It ran for 25 seasons, was number one the whole time.
That's right.
Not bragging, just saying.
Just saying.
Facts. Just saying.
Estimated 48 million viewers a week. I still really miss
it
the show so much.
It was a cultural phenomenon.
It really was.
It's part of the fabric of what we know TV to be.
Unequal.
So imagine for her staff when she came in there, because they weren't expecting her, they went nuts.
They went nuts. Yeah. Of course. That's so cool. It's
worth
celebrating. Shout out to Ty Owens who pulled it off. I thought that was a wonderful thing. And Art Smith did all the food.
Yeah. I love that. Good. All right. So here's a question.
Yes.
Are restaurant dress codes reasonable or not? Sometimes restaurant dress codes are a bit strict, so I want you to take a look at this story. We'll talk about it.
So there's a restaurant that won't allow him to wear sleeveless, but I can, so we're switching.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're doing this.
So that's influencer Katie Novak, who is switching shirts with her friend Mike Perfetuo so they could dine at a Los Angeles restaurant. The Los Angeles restaurant is called South Beverly Grill in L.A. Now, I guess you're not allowed to wear sleeveless if you're a man.
Gotcha.
So, but you can if you're a woman.
But you can if you're a woman.
Yeah.
So they swap shirts, and he's wearing like a puffy, like beautiful,
flowy blouse,
and she puts on the sleeveless shirt, and they get into the restaurant. No problem.
No problem.
But if he had been wearing
the cutoff.
Sleeveless.
Yes.
He would have been not allowed into the restaurant. So what do you guys think about that?
Sometimes it can be ridiculous.
Sometimes it can, but also sometimes I think when they think sleeveless, they're thinking tank tops.
Right.
Okay.
And so you don't really want a guy coming in. I would think you don't want a guy coming to a restaurant with a tank top. That's the only thing I can think of. But the fact that they switch, I think it's funny.
I do think.
And well done.
I always just say dress for success. That's my dress for success.
Okay, Vlad. All right. That's great advice by Vlad. All right. So my Talk of the Table is a moment to celebrate an incredible shooting night. So Kayla McBride helped the WNBA's Minnesota Lynx become the first team to clinch a playoff spot. But she didn't just help. she put on a show. McBride knocked down a league record 10 three-pointers and scored a career-high 43 points. And at 34 years old, she is proving that shooters just age differently. And I know you're not supposed to ask a woman her age, but when she's breaking records and playing some of the best ball of her career, it's worth mentioning.
Yes.
Hayley McBride is aging like fine wine and stomping the competition like grapes.
All right.
So with all this talk that's going on around the WNBA, I want to focus on a really cool storyline and say congrats, keep on balling.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes, yes.
Aging like fine wine she is, unlike me, sour milk.
Oh, here we go. It's Monday, and that means it is time for Beg Knows America, where CBS News contributor David Begno finds the heart in every single story. This morning, David found a whole lot of heart in his hometown for his 100th edition of Beg Knows America.
Gosh, I got it. Hello, buddy.
Oh, my God. Look how adorable.
Let me see.
This is a reunion.
Wow.
To one of the stories people ask me about the most. She is my beautiful mom, Sydney Begno, reuniting with the most memorable people she met during her years as a labor and delivery nurse at a Lafayette, Louisiana hospital.
Well, you gotta tell me all about yourself.
Mom hasn't seen Kingston Hall, his mom, Connie, or Jamie Fontenot since we first told their story back in February of 2018. That was when surveillance footage at Ochsner Lafayette General Medical Center caught Jamie asking for directions. She wasn't a patient, she was there to deliver a letter. But why? Hours earlier in the same hospital, Jamie's dad, James Lee Grimmett, died. And at that exact moment, a lullaby played overhead. The sound the hospital plays every time a baby is born. Jamie heard it and she just knew. She believed that the baby was her dad's angel, so she wrote the newborn mom a letter. Obstetrician Dr. Jennifer Puglisi and my mom, the registered nurse who had just helped to deliver that newborn, were handed the letter. The new mom opened it right there on the spot.
To my dad's angel, even though I will never know your name, you are the first child born here. After my dad's passing, when one life is taken, another is given. Please keep my dad in your prayers.
His name is James. Thank you.
I came in and then the dad says, oh, we found our middle name. And I'm like, oh, great, what is it? And he says, well, it's James, of course. And I'm like, oh, yes, of course.
They named him Kingston James after a man he never met, whose daughter never forgot him.
Oh.
We first brought the families together 8 years ago, and they never let go of each other. I now wanted Mom, retired and spoiling grandkids of her own these days, to see what's come of the good that she helped to bring into the world.
So we first did the story 8 years ago. What has happened since?
A lot has happened. I've had more children. We stay in touch. She's attended as much events as Tom allowed her to.
What do they represent for you?
They're family.
Mm-hmm.
Extended grandchildren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Miss Jamie?
Awesome.
She's awesome. She's pretty awesome.
I feel so blessed. Thank you guys for coming. You know, we only get to see y'all when y'all are born, and then y'all go on y'all's way and go home.
Of all of the stories I've done in 25 years, this is the one story I've done that people ask me about more than any other story.
It's all the work of God.
And to that end, on this day, it seemed right to take the celebration to church.
He just told his mom, he said, I get to ride with her for the first time.
Mom and Kingston got to know each other a little better on the ride.
You must say, yeah. Do you know what I want for my birthday?
No.
A drone.
A drone?
It was a beautiful summer day in South Louisiana. As Mom and Kingston walked hand in hand into an ordinary noon mass.
So you've never been in this church?
Nope, I've never been in a church that looks like this.
At the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist, where sitting together and praying together meant as much to them as watching it meant to me. Three families connected by one young man named
Oh, Kingston my. James.
Hall.
There's a lot of love for you. Can you feel the love?
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel good?
Mm-hmm. Good.
The cutest kid. Kingston's a big brother now. He has two siblings, and the Halls are now a family of five. Mom did not deliver the other two babies. Mom is happily retired and loving up on her grandbabies.
Aw, we love that.
There was a lot. I like what you said, a lot of love in the room, but I like what your mom said, David, in the piece where she said, we don't see you after you're born. It's true.
Right.
They deliver these babies. There's such a connection sometimes between the parents and the children, and then they don't see them again.
That's right.
So great.
Lovely.
And we can tell where you get your love from, David. Mama Bear.
We're just alike.
That's right. All right, David, good stuff as usual. That. And make sure you check out the newest edition of David's podcast, The Person Who Believed in Me. This week, David talks with actor and stand-up comedian Atsuko Okatsuka. And it's available right now wherever you like to get your podcasts.
David Begno on a roll. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow. Take it easy.